trusting in there, faithfully demand of victory and grace. A godly freedom is a right that all men have to see. And fighting for what you believe it has to be.
That was Dunai from Toronto opening our program today, and that is a song called Fly Cossack, and it is a Ron Cahoot original and a classic nowadays, and it is a brand new release by Dunai. This is that new album that they're releasing song by song, and this one was just released a couple of days ago, and again, that was Fly Cossack. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Павліна, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got a seasonal recipe using chestnuts, and that'll be brought to you by Sylvia Molnar, our longtime Ukrainian food flair expert here on Nash Holos. As well, we'll have a special recording for you. The Ambassador for Religious Freedom, Canada's ambassador, is in Ukraine now, and on last Wednesday he gave a conference call in conjunction with the announcement of some support that the Canadian government is giving to Ukraine for religious freedom. So the it was held very early on Wednesday morning, so I missed the call. However, the Prime Minister's office very kindly shared the recording of that call, so I've got some excerpts for you for that. So stay tuned for all of that, as well our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And we're going to be focusing on seasonal music. It is Thanksgiving weekend, so we are definitely in the throes of the fall season, although here on the West Coast it is has been quite mild and is very nice. So we'll be bringing you some fall music and as well some thematic music about the events still going on in Ukraine. And so coming up next, we've got the Teak Band, and this is a seasonal tune. At least the title is, it is called Bila Chmara, Chorna Chmara, White Clouds, Black Clouds.
Над поточком хмариться блакить, а я хочу і не хочу до тебе ходить.
Біла хмара, чорна хмара, ми з тобою поможем, і пара пущить буде, сонце буде, що ж мені робить?
Біла хмара, чорна хмара, ми з тобою поможем, і пара пущить буде, сонце буде, що ж мені робить?
Foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for the past 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing artists and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Holis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, contact the Shevchenko Foundation at 204-944-9128, toll-free 1-866-524-5314, or visit shevchenkofoundation.com.
Землю вкриває і сумно на прекрасное лето, ще нас прощає і понура осінь настає. В таку пору давно кудись ти відійшов, і не знайти мені тебе ніде, а серце досі тужить за тобою. Якщо в клевістя паде, тебе нема, а в серці тужно, думки летять. Минає день за днем байдужно, і гасне чар моїх надій. Прийди до мене ти хоч на хвилиночку, і голову склони на грудь, і в тихих
Turnbull, Connecticut, that is Olya Fritz from her CD, Zaprase Usne, Into Your Dreams. And it's one of the pleasures of doing this radio program is being able to meet longtime listeners from far away. And I had that wonderful experience last month when I was in Toronto at the Ukrainian Festival there. Unfortunately, I did not meet the singer that you just heard, but I heard met one of her compatriots from that same part of the world. And actually, he sort of introduced me to Olya's music. His name is Ronnie Bugrin, and Ronnie has been one of those behind-the-scenes contributors to this program. He's put me in contact with a lot of performers that you've heard here on Nosh Holos and given me some background information and great insights. So many thanks to Ronnie, our secret contributor here to Nosh Holos from You know what, Ronnie, I apologize. I can never quite remember exactly where you're from. Somewhere on the eastern seaboard in New England. And thank you again for your contributions. And that song by Olya is especially for you. We're going to bring it home now since I'm home again, and we have some great talent here on this coast, right in Vancouver. Up next is Zelia from their CD Willow Bridge, their second, and again, one of those seasonal songs, Oi Nahori Doshti De, It's Raining in the Mountains.
Oi Nahori Doshti De, Atolin Sunset.
Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. Chestnut trees abound in Ukraine, so it's not surprising that chestnuts are used in many Ukrainian dishes, sweet and savory, in combination with other vegetables, and in basic bread stuffings and desserts. I have a classic Ukrainian dish for you, that is elegant and surprisingly easy to prepare, and absolutely out of this world delicious. To make it even easier, purchase ready-cooked and peeled chestnuts. You can find them in most supermarkets and specialty food stores. Wedges of Savoy cabbage can be substituted for Brussels sprouts with equally delicious results. You'll need 1 cup chestnuts, 3 cups Brussels sprouts, 3 tablespoons each of butter and flour, 1.5 cups chicken or beef stock, and salt to taste. Cut slits in the shell of each chestnut. Cover with boiling water and cook 20 minutes. Cool and remove shells and skins from the nuts. Slice them and set them aside. Prepare the Brussels sprouts by removing any wilted outer leaves and trimming the base. Cook them in boiling water to barely cover for about 12 minutes. Drain when done. Melt the butter, stir in the flour, and then the stock. Cook and stir constantly until the sauce thickens. Season with salt to taste. Combine the sauce, sprouts, and chestnuts, and simmer for 10 minutes to blend flavors. Garnish with 1/2 cup browned, buttered breadcrumbs. This recipe serves 6. Try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
From
from Lviv, Ukraine, that was Lubistock from a CD called Ukrainian Folk Music on a label called Airmail Music. And that was Uzeleni Poloneni. Up next is Cherbshena from Montreal and Rozidesya Tumanochko, The Mist.
Розійдися, туманочку, розійдися, туманочку, розійдися, туманочку, оренили із раночку, розійдися, туманочку, оренили із раночку.
This is Irina Bell, producer and host of the Ukrainian Hour radio program on chinradioottawa.com, with warm greetings to Pavlina and the listeners of Nash Holos on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. It's been a pleasure to have Pavlina in Ottawa for the visit of Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko. It's been an exciting time. You can check the Nash Holos Facebook page for photos of the visit. All the best to Nash Holos listeners in Vancouver and Nanaimo for many more years of interesting broadcasts.
Ви слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. On Wednesday, October 8, 2014, Andrew Bennett, Canada's Ambassador for Religious Freedom, announced two projects to be supported by the Religious Freedom Fund in Ukraine. The Office of Religious Freedom is partnering with the OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, to increase awareness of international standards on freedom of religion or belief, to prevent and respond to hate crimes, and to facilitate multi-community dialogue on issues of religious freedom and belief. The office is also partnering with the Catholic Near East Welfare Association to educate and promote understanding among the many diverse ethnic and civil communities in different regions of Ukraine. This funding follows the announcement by Prime Minister Stephen Harper earlier this year of $220.9 million in financial assistance to promote economic and social development in Ukraine. The Religious Freedom Fund is managed by the Office of Religious Freedom at Foreign Affairs, Trade and Development Canada. Ambassador Bennett is currently in Ukraine and very early on Wednesday morning held a media conference call from Kyiv. The Prime Minister's office kindly sent Nash Holos a recording of that call. Here are some excerpts.
Welcome to the Ambassador Bennett conference call from Ukraine. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ambassador Andrew Bennett.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to all members of different media outlets that are joining us today. The call that we're all participating in is to give you an opportunity to hear about my current visit to Ukraine. I'm speaking to you from Kyiv, where I've been since the past weekend, arriving on Saturday, and will be traveling to Lviv in western Ukraine today through until Sunday. The reason for my being here is to, again, demonstrate how proud Canada is of its long-standing support to the Ukrainian people in advancing freedom and democracy, which both Minister Baird and the Prime Minister have spoken out on repeatedly over the last number of months. We are also in the process of launching two projects to be funded by the Religious Freedom Fund of the Office of Religious Freedom. And these projects will aim to foster the development of a political culture in Ukraine that facilitates democratization, religious freedom, and pluralism, which are ideals that we share with the Ukrainian people and will courageously defend and protect as a cornerstone of our enduring friendship with Ukraine. I think it's important to emphasize that my trip here is twofold. It's to announce these projects, one with the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, and one with the Catholic Near East Welfare Association. The two projects together total just roughly $1.2 million Canadian dollars, and they're multi-year projects. That's sort of the first purpose for my being here, is to announce these projects, but I think also more importantly is to meet with a variety of different Ukrainian government officials, representatives of different human rights organizations, non-governmental organizations, and members of all the different religious communities here in the country, to have a better understanding of the level of religious persecution and intimidation that is taking place in Russian-occupied Crimea, and also in the areas of eastern Ukraine, where Russian interests and Russian proxies have taken over territories, particularly around Donetsk and Luhansk. What we've been hearing, and certainly what we've been monitoring in the Office of Religious Freedom for the last number of months, is ongoing intimidation and persecution of various Christian communities, notably the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of the Kievan Patriarchate, and various evangelical Protestant groups, also Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. That's in eastern Ukraine. In Crimea, we've been monitoring the ongoing intimidation and persecution by the occupying authorities of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, again, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of the Kievan Patriarchate, and also ramping up a persecution against Crimean Muslim Tatars. I think it's important to also note that much of the focus on the crisis in Ukraine has been at the geopolitical or the geostrategic level, looking at, you know, Ukraine's relationship with Russia, its relationship with Europe, and how various governments have been responding, including Canada, to the crisis in Ukraine. The religious dimension of this crisis, the religious persecution that's been taking place as a result of Russian involvement in Crimea and in eastern Ukraine, is a story I think that has not been told as well, but it's one that plays into the broader geopolitical issue.
The first question is from Marko Levitsky from Ukrainian News.
Ambassador Bennett, thank you very much for holding this conference. My question is, what can be done about Russian persecution of the various other religions in both Donbass and Crimea? And what can Canada do to urge its allies to take some proactive action? Now, I would like to point out that Turkey at one point said it was going to close the Bosporus Straits if there's any actions done against the Crimean Tatars. Can Canada urge them to follow up on that?
Thanks very much for your question, Marco. On the question of Turkey's plans to possibly cut off the Bosphorus, I'm not aware of that, so I can't comment on that. But in terms of what can be done regarding Russian persecution of different religious communities in the Donbas and also in Crimea, I think the most important thing is the need to raise awareness. As I mentioned in my opening comments, I think rightfully so, there's been a lot of focus on the broader geopolitical issue at stake here as a result of Russia's invasion and illegal annexation of Crimea and its moves into eastern Ukraine. But the big problem that we're seeing now is Russia's use of religion as a way of dividing people in Ukraine and using religion, instrumentalizing, we can say, religion as a source of conflict. And this is fundamentally not a religious conflict. This is a political conflict that has been perpetrated by Russian action. So we need to, first of all, raise awareness about the nature of this religious, these persecutions and intimidations that are taking place, remembering that it wasn't until Russian involvement that you started to see this type of intimidation and persecution of different religious communities. We need to remember that during the period of the Maidan and the period leading up to the ousting of President Yanukovych, that you know more or less all of the different churches, the Jewish community, the Muslim community, were united, and they were seen you know praying together and united on the Maidan, making statements in support of democracy and Ukrainian self-determination. So we need to raise awareness. What can Canada do with regards to raising this issue with its allies? I think as a connected issue, we need to be vigilant in dispelling and countering Russian propaganda and Russian misinformation around what is actually happening in the Donbas and Crimea with respect to different religious communities. As an example, for quite some time, the Russian government has been intimating that there's been an increase in anti-Semitism in Ukraine as a result of the coming in of the new government under Prime Minister Yatsenyuk and President Poroshenko. We have consulted widely now with different Jewish communities in Ukraine. We've also been engaged with a Jewish community in Canada that has links back to Ukraine, all of whom have said there have been no increases in anti-Semitic actions within Ukraine. There were a couple of incidents such as attacks on a synagogue in Mykolaiv and an attack on a synagogue in Kyiv, but from all the different contacts we have in the Jewish community and in the government, they've indicated that these were provocations led by Russian interests and not actually symptomatic of increasing anti-Semitism. So we need to raise awareness as to what is going on, and we need to work to offer a very, I think, nuanced counter-narrative to the Russian narrative of, you know, that is really a lot of lies with regards to the situation in Ukraine.
The next question is from John Dahlberg from Associated Press in Brussels.
Thank you, and thank you, Ambassador, for giving us the opportunity to talk to you and hear your report. I was interested in asking about for some specifics about the persecution that you say you've gotten reports of or have evidence of, specifically as regards Crimea. Are people being prevented from worshiping? Are clergymen being harassed or kidnapped or believers being harassed or kidnapped? I'm also specifically interested in what might have happened to houses of worship or other property that are owned by the various denominations. I know that the Ukrainian Orthodox leader of the Ukrainian Patriarchate in Simferopol was using a former military academy as his cathedral. Is that still in his hands, or has that been repossessed by the government? Thank you.
The persecution that's taking place in Crimea I would say is particularly since Russian annexation and the imposition of a sort of Russian administrative control is very well organized. We've been receiving reports from the Crimean Tatar community. I met with Mr. Rafat Chubarov, who's the head of the Crimean Tatar Mejlis, so the Crimean Representative Council. I've had a chance to meet with various bishops and hierarchs from the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church and the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of the Kievan Patriarchate to talk about what has been happening in Crimea. Also, I met with the Ministry of Culture and the office responsible for religious matters there, and they reinforced a lot of what we've been hearing. So with respect to clergy being targeted, the Kievan Patriarchate has a number of churches in Crimea. Archbishop Clement, who is the Archbishop of Simferopol for the Kievan Patriarchate, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of the Kievan Patriarchate, had his home firebombed roughly, I think, 2 months ago now. His cathedral that they have been using, the Kievan Patriarchate Cathedral in Simferopol, has been targeted in various ways. Archbishop Clement recently received instructions that the rent that the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of the Kievan Patriarchate was paying for the cathedral, which was 1 hryvnia, so roughly 10 cents Canadian per year, for a lease of 49 years, was going to rise to 600,000 hryvnia per year. So that's roughly 60,000 Canadian dollars per year, and that this was more or less an immediate change. We're also finding, in the case of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, when just after the annexation took place and Russian authorities came into position, Ukrainian Greek Catholic priests were kidnapped and in many cases held for a number of hours and then released as a form of intimidation. Their homes were vandalized. Most of those priests have now been forced out of Crimea, and the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church has brought in mostly monks, so priest monks, hiero monks, to take the place of most of the married clergy who were there because they thought it wasn't safe for them and their families. We've received reports that the Russian authorities have now imposed visa restrictions on Ukrainian Greek Catholic clergy. They're given visas for 3-month periods, and then they have to renew them every 3 months. There's also plans, we understand, to force religious communities in Crimea to re-register with the occupying authorities. And as is the case in Russia, religious registration has been used as a means to control various religious communities. And we expect that this will be used as a means to control the Kievan Patriarchate and also the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. We also are aware of intimidation of priests during the Divine Liturgy, during liturgical services. We heard from a Kievan Patriarchate Archbishop just last night that a security officer of the FSB, the intelligence service, the Russian intelligence service, came in recently into the church in Simferopol before anybody else had come into the church for the Divine Liturgy. He sat at the back of the church with a notebook taking notes through the liturgy, and he was the last to leave at the end of the liturgy. FSB officers, we've been told by Crimean Tatar sources, have been planting books in Tatar schools. These are books that are on the banned list of books enforced by the Russian Federation. FSB officers have also been going from house to house to Crimean Tatar homes, asking people about what books they possess. There have already been some reports of seizing of books from Crimean Tatars and them being accused of having extremist literature by Russian forces. So we see a fairly widespread targeted persecution of Crimean Tatars, Ukrainian Orthodox, the Kievan Patriarchate, and also Ukrainian Greek Catholics. We also understand from the Crimean Tatar community that Russian interests have been trying to divide the community by establishing a rival organization within the Crimean Tatar community, that an organization that would be more loyal to Moscow. And so they're using this as a means to divide the community. We heard this again from Mr. Rafat Chubarov, the president of the Crimean Tatar Mejlis. I hope that answers your question.
Very much, sir. Thank you.
The next question is from Lisa Wang from NTDTUA.
Thanks for thanks, Ambassador, for this opportunity. And my question is, what specifically can this project we are doing in Ukraine to, you know, promote religious freedom? Can you give us an example
of the projects that we're announcing?
Yes, you said invested maybe more than $1 billion.
No, 1 million.
Sorry, 1 million. Yeah.
I should also let participants on the call note that there will be a press release issued after the call that will provide some detail also of the projects, but I can provide some of that to you now. The first project is a project to promote security for religious communities in Ukraine. That's with the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe through its Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights. The total value of that project over 2 years is $950,000 Canadian. And the expected outcomes of the project are to increase awareness within civil society, religious communities, local and regional authorities, and law enforcement of international standards for freedom of religion and the role of the state in securing religious freedom for people in Ukraine. Also to provide technical skills and professional materials on religious freedom so as to assist law enforcement organizations and various other civil authorities to prevent and respond to hate crimes, especially against various religious communities. And finally, to encourage institutional dialogue within Ukrainian institutions about the need to promote and defend the security of religious communities and to link this with broader democratic development. And this will be done through a series of training modules on hate crime for law enforcement, a series of workshops across different regions for police officers and prosecutors on securing freedom of religion, a series of meetings with stakeholders to collect data on how that this data will then inform an implementation plan with the various state authorities to establish international standards for promotion of religious freedom. And then there will be three regional events across different regions that will serve as platforms for engaging different communities in dialogues on the importance of anchoring religious freedom within society. The second project with the Catholic Near East Welfare Association is again over a two-year period, and that will be for a total of $240,000 Canadian. The goal of this project, and it's focused largely on youth, the goal is to increase religious tolerance within Ukrainian society based on a better knowledge of historical facts and a rejection of old Soviet stereotypes, to encourage Ukrainian society to gain wider knowledge and a better understanding of the various challenges that exist within society to religious freedom, to deepen intercultural awareness on religious freedom, to foster the development of a political culture in Ukraine that will facilitate greater democratization in which religious tolerance and pluralism are a key core element. And so this will be done through a series of, I think, quite innovative summer programs and summer institutes that will bring together, as I said, largely young people from different ethno-religious communities to talk about what it means to engage in a pluralist society as members of different communities. There will be a series of public panel discussions, roundtables, different exchanges, and lecture series across the country to emphasize the role of democratic leadership in fostering religious freedom. One of them is actually quite interesting. It will be a East-West student exchange, where there will be a series of reconciliation trips to Lviv in western Ukraine for more than 500 students from eastern and southern regions of the country. And so I talked before about countering propaganda Russian-derived propaganda. And I think this is one area where we can do that, is to reach out to people across the country here in Ukraine to get them to meet with one another, to engage with one another, and to talk about pluralism. And certainly this is part and parcel of what we in Canada understand as being a key ingredient for advancing religious freedom, and that is a pluralist, multicultural, multi-faith society, which exists here in Ukraine. It's just, it needs to be further fostered and developed.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to turn the meeting back to Ambassador Bennett.
Thank you very much. Just very briefly, thank you for participating in the call. And as I said, a press release will be coming out very shortly with further details on the different projects. Again, I would just reiterate a point I made early on, that the situation here in Ukraine has many facets to it. But one of them is this level of religious persecution and intimidation that's taking place both in the Donbas region in eastern Ukraine and in Crimea. And, you know, often I think from the Canadian perspective, where we live in a secular society and we often don't factor in the issues of religious persecution because we're fortunate in Canada not to experience widespread conflict between different religious communities. We have, as I said, this wonderful pluralist, multicultural, multi-faith society where there's all sorts of opportunities for religious communities to engage. But here in Ukraine, it is a society that is still profoundly religious. And so it's very unfortunate to see how Russian interests are using that reality, a reality that was displayed in a very positive way on the Maidan, and they're now instrumentalizing religion to try and cause division. So I think we need to, again, construct a counter-narrative to the half-truths and lies that are coming from Russian interests. So again, thank you very much for your participation, and I hope we have an opportunity again in the near future to talk more about religious freedom.
Andrew Bennett, Canada's Ambassador for Religious Freedom, speaking from Kyiv on Wednesday, October 8, 2014. Up next, the Varioka Choir with Boże Wielki, the prayer for Ukraine. what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Washington State, and Greater Vancouver. Wednesdays from 12 to 1 p.m. on CHLY 101.7 FM, Radio Malaspina. Starting Saturday, November 1st, 2014, Nash Holos will move to its new time slot, 6 p.m. Saturdays. So mark the change in your calendar and make sure to join us in our new time slot here at Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on AM 1320 CHMB and online at am1320.com, 6 p.m. Saturdays starting on Saturday, November 1st. Contact TV airs on multicultural channel Omni 1 and on channel 8 on Shaw Cable Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. with a repeat broadcast the following Monday at noon. If you have announcements or story ideas you'd like aired on Contact, please email them at studio@contact.ca. That's studio@contact.ca. And at 5 p.m. next Sunday evening, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver or catch the live stream at am1320.com and join me for another hour of fun on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, you'll find upcoming events, program information, audio archives, podcast feeds, and much more at www.nashholos.com. Numивже скінчила нашу програму, вже час додому сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Якщо людина родини немає, то в неї дуже сумне життя буває. And the proverb of the week translates as, life without a family is lonely. So if you have a sibling that annoys you or a parent or child that annoys you, keep that in mind, especially on this Thanksgiving weekend. Well, that just about wraps up another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us home, we've got the Ukrainian old-timers from Winnipeg and the Hiccup Polka. I'm Pavlina on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks for listening and Dobranich!